All you children may leave now. All right, question. How do we treat the people in our lives? How do we treat them? How do we treat the people in our lives? Jesus said, do unto others, treat other people in the same way that you would desire to be treated, right? Didn't he say that? Yeah, he did. Do we always, and are we continually seeking the good at all times? Are we willing to make sacrifices for their betterment? Is that our attitude towards other people? People we live with, people our neighbors, whatever. Or do we simply tolerate people? Just put up with them. When it's profitable for us, or the aspects of that? Or do we just discard them when we are finished with them, so to speak? Because the adage of the day that I see, and I run into it all the time, is very simple. Look out for number one. Take care of yourself. Just look out for number one. Because we are in a world today of the adage simply is, me first. That was true in the biblical days. It was true in Jesus' day. And that's why the Lord said through the Holy Spirit, prefer others above yourself. Not what he said? That's what it says. But this me first thing that is going on today is really destroying our respect for one another. You know that, don't you? It's destroying respect of children for mom and dad. Mom and dad for many, many different reasons and people. But Jesus declared that next to the part of loving God with our whole being, heart, mind, body, and soul, the second was like to it is to love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that what he said? Love your neighbor as yourself. The question. What does loving our neighbor look like? You ever wondered about it? What does it look like when we say we're to love our neighbor as ourselves? And I think we can find that answer. And by looking at the verses of Scripture that simply mentions that we are to love one another, one another, one another, one another, one another, passages, the Bible says, and there are clearly seven clear passages in the New Testament itself that says one another. In other words, the Bible seems to suggest to us that we're not just living as our own individual self, that we are a part of a whole. And how we treat those around us and how we treat every aspect of it is going to boomerang back to us. Maybe Jesus meant it this way. Give, and it will be given to you. Pressed down, overflowing. Pour it over into your lap. Because by the same measure you measure it out, it will be measured back to you. The Old Testament sort of said, you cast your bread on the waters, and Ecclesiastes, in many days it's going to do what? The Bible also says, whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So let's just kind of spend some time looking at these one another passages. And our text this morning simply introduced the first one. I think it's a good one to start with, because I really believe it's the point of what we're involved with, okay? Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and I'm not going to read the first part, but I want you to notice that he says, a what? A new commandment I give to you, that you are to do what? Love one another. How? Even as I have loved you, so that you also love one another. And by this all men will know that you are my disciples, my followers, my learners. If you have love for, how many times one another appear? How many times does one another appear? Three times. Three times, one another. Love one another. You know, back in Deuteronomy 5, it says there, you love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. So what's new about it? What is new? What's new about this commandment? It was given in Deuteronomy chapter 5. The new is the fact that he adds that you love one another. How? That's new. No one had ever seen a living example of what it really meant to agape, to love, as Jesus himself loved us. So Jesus left us an example of what love is, agape love, and we have defined that. We've been preaching on the power of God, the power of love. That's the most powerful ingredient in life there is the power of God's love flowing through us. Agape love, not fleshly love, not earth, not worldly love, agape. A love that comes from the Holy Spirit into our heart, and God wants to shed that love abroad through us. Amen? That is what he wants to do. And so the aspect of it that you and I have an example, we are to love one another as he loved us. And by that, he says, that the world out there will know that you are my followers. Right? So how do you love your wife? Do your children see Christ in your love? How do you love your husband? You see, the love that we have is a love that comes from God. Therefore, Jesus should be seen in the way we treat one another. Amen? And the love of God should be demonstrated, and people should see that love. And especially in the body of Christ, the people come into our assembly and they meet us, they should be meeting Jesus. We're the body of Christ. Aren't we? Over which he is a head. And we should have his heart. We should have his love. We should have his same desire that he had and that he demonstrated. And so the Bible, Jesus continually stresses the aspect of how we treat one another. And he emphasizes that it is that we are to even love our enemies. Didn't he? Yeah, he did. With love and respect. Nowhere does the Bible say, love your neighbor if. There's no if. You know that, don't you? Did Jesus put certain ifs on how much he was going to demonstrate God's love for you and me? Or did he give himself? Did he sacrifice? Did he give his all? Was he willing to take your sins and bear them on the cross and to become a scapegoat for all of us? Yeah, he was. He was willing to do that. So there's no if in love. So as you and I say, the aspect of it is very clear. How am I to love people, my wife, my family, my children, anyone and everyone? I'm to love them in exactly the same way Jesus loved me. 2 Thessalonians 1:3. The Bible says, and the love of each one of you towards one another grows even greater. You know what? I fell in love with Marilyn over the last 3 days like I've never loved anybody in my life. Now, thank you for your prayers, and I thank you for your presence. But I'm telling you, when somebody's hurting, you love, you hurt. When you think you might be leaving and losing somebody that has become such an intimate part of you, what an unbelievable feeling that becomes. I'm serious. I've learned a lot last week. I learned a lot about what it means to love and to be loved. Thank you for those and all of you who have loved Marilyn and I. It's meant the world to us. I would not be able to be up here preaching if it wasn't because I know you love me and you love my wife. It's been a burden. I've never experienced anything like it. But I know what it is to truly love somebody. I know what it is to love them with a passion and desire that you would take their place. I would have taken her place just like Jesus took my place if I could have. I would have. And Jesus said, the world will know, Bill, and everybody else around you and your children, your family, and everybody who meets you, Bill, they'll know you by the way you love other people, the way you demonstrate that love. Love is a verb. It's an action word. It has to be seen. Love not just in word, but you have to put it in action. Love indeed, right? Yes. So the first one another is to love one another even as Jesus loved us. The second one is found in Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. This is what it says. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore each one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Restore one another. Bear one another's burdens is the second one. What does it mean to restore? How do you do it? What's your attitude? You restore gently. Not harshly, not cruelly, not judgmentally, not condemningly. You do it gently. Know what it says? Restore them gently. And then it goes on and says, and it doesn't say to judge them. Does it anywhere? Does it say condemn them? Does it say go ahead and broadcast their sins and all that they're doing wrong and let everybody know how bad they are? Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. What does it say? It says restore them. How do you do that? How is that accomplished? The directive is that you and I are to be helping them, those who have been caught up in a sin, and to help them to be restored to God. That's the direction, is to help restore them back in a relationship with God. How do you do it? You do it gently. 1 John 5:16 states these words, if anyone sees a brother committing a sin, not leading to death, he shall ask of God, and God will make him, and God will for him give life to those who have committed the sin. Wow. What's the direction there? Now, when you see somebody be caught up in a prayer or in a sin, what should you be doing for them? You should be humbling yourself before God and praying for those people. Asking God to do what? Restore them. Heal them. Now, what it says? That's what it says. How many of us do that? How many people really, really do that? Or are we so pharisaical and so caught up in our self-righteousness that when we see a brother committing an act of sin, the first thing we do is judge them. The last thing we would do is pray for them, humbly asking God to restore them. And then he goes on in this same verse, chapter 6 of Galatians, and he says something else. The second part is that we bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. How many of us know that Jesus bore your burdens on Calvary? Know what he did? Did he not take your sins and my sin in himself and bear them on a cross? Didn't he? The idea behind that concept of words is the fact that bearing one another's burdens goes back to, if you will, carrying it along with them. In other words, you walk along with them. You know what the Holy Spirit was given to you for? It's a paraclete who walks along beside you. He's there to help you. He's there to encourage you. He's there to strengthen you. He's there to help you in every aspect of your being. And there's lots of things the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Well, if we're the body of Christ and we see people struggling and caught up in a transgression or a sin, whatever, then we need to get along beside them and tell them with the love of God in us, we're going to help you. We're going to bear this with you. We'll carry the load with you. We're going to get you through this. Yeah, that's what it means. Remember the illustration I met back a little bit about Lloyd couldn't make it to the pearly gates, and so I told Lloyd get on my back and I'd carry him the rest of the way, sort of bear. The word is bear. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I'll bear your burdens. My yoke is easy. Well, we need to make it easy for people to be able to allow us to come along beside them. and to love them through whatever it is they're struggling with. Why should they have to go to the secular world to find some way to assist them with what they're dealing with? Are we not the body of Christ? And did he not come into the world to heal us? Yeah, he did. And don't tell me that doesn't work. I know. I've walked along beside many men with other elders, and we've seen them quit drinking. We've seen them quit whatever. I mean, it's amazing when you are willing to give of yourself to someone and spend hours and time and sacrifice with them and say, I'm going to be with you to the end. I'm not going to let you fall. I'm going to help you get through this. It's amazing what that does for people. You know that? Sure, it gives them that. I'm willing to do my part. Right? It's like holding them up. I'm going to assist you. I'm going to carry your load. I'm going to be right there with you. I will not leave you, nor am I going to forsake you. You can count on it. If you leave me, that's your choice, but I'm going to be here for you. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, that's another aspect of one another. You see what it's doing? We're part of a family. We're the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. When you hurt, I hurt. When you rejoice, I rejoice. When you're sad, I'm sad. Right? I mean, come on, think about what the Word says about our relationship. The aspects of it. And the point of it. And the reality of it. Bear one another's burdens. And thus do what? Fulfill the law. Now, don't say we're not under a law system, because we are. We're under the law of liberty, but we're not to use that liberty to sin, right? We've been set free from the slavery of sin so we could again serve God in righteousness. That we could again honor Him through the power of the Spirit and the power of God within us and His love within us, that we could do His will. We did not get set free so we could just live our lives selfishly and do our own thing. No, we were set free that we could minister and help and encourage and love one another and bear one another's burdens when it's necessary and pray for one another. The aspects of that. Man, you can imagine what happened to a congregation of people in my life, in your life. I know what happens. I experienced it. I experienced people bearing my burden last week. I saw tears in people's eyes for my wife. Well, my wife is doing really well. In fact, the doctor told me, the head cardiologist, he said, Mister, he says, I just want you to be aware that about 2 to 3 months, you're going to have a new woman in your life. And Marilyn's response, well, I sure hope it's me. So don't think my wife doesn't have a sense of humor. But I want you to know that I appreciate you holding me up. I was weary. Yeah, I broke down. I bawled. I had the burden, and you people were sitting right there, and you were like holding my arms up. I couldn't have made it. I could not have been there without you being there. Seriously. And all your texts and all your phone calls and all your cards and all your messages. You know, you make me know what it's like to be loved. Okay? Third thing, we'll close with this one. Colossians 3:13. I said there were seven, so you got to come back for the next last four. If you don't want to hear them, don't come, okay? It says in Colossians 3:13, bearing with one another. Oh, it says bearing one another. This says bearing one another and forgiving one another. And whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, also you should forgive. Did you get it? You see, loving a new commandment is we have an example of love in Jesus Christ, don't we? We know what it means to sacrifice and to give of yourself and surrender to the will of God and be willing to pay a price for the whole world. From Adam to the end. That's what he did, didn't he? Huh? Yeah, he did. And in Colossians, what does it say? Bear one another. You know what the Greek word is that? Put up with one another. It means to put up with. You know, Dan, he gave me some canned pears and canned applesauce, and my mom used to can tomatoes and blackberries and you name it. She canned everything. I don't think that's what it means in putting up. Okay? I mean, you're not to can people. Okay? To can them, you've got to put them under a lot of heat, you know? Boiling water and all the things that brings people and brings it to a point as it's cooling down, then seals, right? Putting up with that. Well, you know what that means? You know what that really means? That means I'm not, nor are any of you, perfect. Sorry. That means there's certain things in your life that because I love you, I will put up with you. How many of you put up with your husband? I mean, don't say that. Don't do that, okay? But that means we put up with one another. We all have our certain idiosyncrasies. We all have our certain aspects, our own certain personalities. We are not all alike, are we? Huh? We're not rubber stamps. None of us are. We all have our aspects and differences in every aspect. But there should never be a difference in our conviction that we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and we're to do the will of God as submitting to it. Nobody should be here not in agreement with that. Now, we may be at different levels because Jesus said some will bear 30-fold, some 60, some 100, right? So we know we're not all in the same spiritual element of life, but we're still going to be held accountable to bearing the fruit that we have the capacity to bear, right? So I bear with up. I put up. You may not agree with me on this, but I tell you this really sincerely. I don't put up with much from Marilyn. I beat her up every day. I get out of bed before she does. I'm serious. I have never heard my wife say any negative thing about anyone. I've never heard her, even through all of this. This cardiologist and the doctors come in and they sincerely said to her, "Aren't you ever going to complain?" She was talking to Sherry on the phone last night, and Sherry was pouring her heart out to her mom. And her mom just said to Kelly and telling her, Sherry, I know, but this is God's will for me. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to put up with it. I know I'm going to do that. She didn't never say how much pain she was in. She never said and complained. She never said one thing. She just simply said, "I thank God." That's what he said. "I thank God for this." Because she knows if we hadn't gone to urgent care, found that her pulse was down to 35, her heart rate was almost disconnected, she probably would have had a major stroke. And we ended up going to the hospital because she had a sore throat. You know what Marilyn says? She thanks God for the sore throat. You know, think about it. Okay, so I just want you to know sincerely, I don't have to put up with much. She's a sweet, loving little gal. But I know what you're thinking. You're sitting there saying, "Yeah, but she puts up a lot from you, don't she?" I know what you're thinking. The word bear here just simply means to put up with one another. Reason being, anybody here perfect? Anybody here don't ever commit an act of sin? If you say you never sin, you're a liar and the truth isn't in you. Isn't that what it says? Yeah, it does. So this certainly implies that no one is perfect and demand that we be gracious and we be merciful and that we be compassionate towards one another. Isn't that what God desires? He desires a people who will be merciful as He is and will be gracious as He is and will be compassionate as He is and will hurt when other people hurt and not be any other thing but be willing to say, "Get on my back. I'm going to help you. I'm going to carry you." That's what we shared. After all, your next blunder may come in the next hour. You know that, don't you? Huh? What did you say? Come on. I think the next one is where most of us have trouble. It's a radical aspect, but it says, "Forgive as the Lord forgave you." There's a lot of Christians that have been in the Lord for a long time, and they still haven't forgiven people back when. You know what God said? Do you know what the Bible says, dear people? Bill, you know what he says to me? You know what he says? If you don't forgive others, neither will you be forgiven. Wow, that's pretty radical, isn't it? Well, we say the Lord's Prayer, right? Forgive us our debtors, our transgressors, as we forgive them. Isn't that what the Lord's Prayer says? Sure does. How many of you here have never been hurt? How many of you here have never been wronged? How many of you here have never been lied about? How many of you here have not experienced all types of pain and whatever? And how and where do they come from? Other people. Right? So we're going to carry all that, and we're going to carry. You're not made to carry all that. If you don't forgive people, you know what you're going to do? You're going to dump it inside of yourself. And it's going to begin to psychosomatically affect you, and you're going to start having ulcers, and you'll get cancer. You'll get. You know how many doctors are convinced that most people's physical problem is caused because of stress and unforgiving spirits? Seriously, you weren't made to carry that. You're made by God and in His will with spirit being. And if you're going to be like God, again, restored to Him, you need to forgive like He forgives. Isn't that what Jesus said? Forgive your others as you have been forgiven. That's quite a radical aspect, if you ask me. You see, God does not forgive us. He doesn't give us room for an unforgiving spirit. He doesn't do it. He just does not do it. Next week, I'm going to talk about encouraging one another. Anybody need encouraging? You know the aspects of that. And I'll share that with you because I'll share it again. I don't want you to forget this. See, two buffalo were standing along the side of the road. And these tourists were going through it was like a zoo that you drive through. And they stopped and they looked at these two buffaloes. And the one guy shouted out the window, "You are the mangiest, ugliest, dirtiest, filthy beast I've ever seen." And they drove on. And the one buffalo said to the other, "I just think that I just heard a discouraging word." You know what? My Bible says, "Let every word that proceeds out of your mouth administer grace upon the hearer for the purpose of edification." Amen. We're here to build one another up. We're here to encourage one. How many of you don't need to be encouraged? We all need it, don't we? Yeah, we do. So God bless you. God bless you very much. I really do want you to know that Marilyn is doing okay. She still has some real pain in that area. Bless her heart. She was very disillusioned in the hospital from the medicine. They gave her morphine, and she can't handle that stuff. So she tore the bandage off. She tore open the opening and a little bit up here on the top. So, bless her. It's going to take a little while for it to heal, okay? But she will heal. And she wants me to say to you, from her heart, to you, she really loves you, and she thanks you for all you've done and all you have done. I mean, she really does. She just really is a very sweet, loving woman, and I'm telling you, she's grateful for you. She thanks you for it. Thank you, okay? Thank you for your prayers. Keep praying for her. 2 weeks, she goes back to the cardiologist. It's going to be 3 months from now that supposedly the heart will restore. They'll do another echogram to look at it and see what's happening with that part. That part of the heart, are you listening? That part of the heart is what controls the pulse and controls the rhythm of the heart. It was destroyed. It was put to death. The cardiologist said, what did that? She had a heart-breaking emotional traumatization that destroyed that part of the heart. Well, you know what Sherry's went through for over last year. My wife woke up many nights screaming because she saw Joe beating her, whatever. And so over a year, my wife's heart, unbeknownst to me, I know many times she'd wake up and I'd hold her and she'd be bawling. And, "Is Sherry okay? Is Sherry okay? Is Sherry okay?" And Sherry now is
calling her and reassuring her
over and over. Mom, I'm okay. I'm safe. You know, you don't have to worry about me anymore. I'm going to make it. We're doing fine. Whatever. But that almost killed my wife. Okay? What are you experiencing? What are you doing to one another? What are you doing to one another's physical hearts that you could very well be destroying that other person, not even know it, by the way you treat them and the trauma that you may be having in your relationships? Stop it. Love one another the way Jesus said, as He loved you. Forgive as you've been forgiven. Bear one another. Put up with one another. But bear one another's burdens. Thus fulfill. You know how much healing that would bring? If people would just do what God's Word says. Really would. Right? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I do thank You for the blessings of Your Word, for its truth, its power. Help us not to just be hearers, but help us to be doers. Help us to look into the Word and see ourselves for who we are and allow Your Word and Your Spirit to transform us and change us into the people that God, You can make us to be. Help us to love one another. Help us to indeed bear one another's burdens. Help us, Lord, to forgive. And help us indeed to be there and to bear and to encourage one another in every way possible. So thank You for being with us. But thank You for the example that we have in Jesus. That how He loved us. How He was willing to open the door so that forgiveness becomes a reality. Will You remove our sins as far as the east is from the west? Lord, help us to forgive as we've been forgiven. Be with us, guide and direct us as we, again, continue the life that You've given us, Lord, that people will see Jesus in us. God, help us to have the desire that our children would see Jesus through our love and through our behavior, through our lives and our walk with You. People need to see Jesus. They need to see that He is real, that He's alive, and that He's made a difference in our individual lives. So bless us and be with us as we walk our separate ways. But help us not to forget that we are a part of one another, that we're family. And as we stand and sing this song, Lord, I am so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. Shall we stand together as we sing? I'm so glad I'm a part. Family God, we're going to sing it through twice, okay? So if you don't get it the first time, you can be glad you get it the second time.